independent candidate for Corangamite, Damien Cole, is with me on the line. Damien, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for that, Mitch. How are you, mate?
Very well. Good to have you on the program. Thank you very much for joining us once again, first time in 2019. And the reason why we've asked you to come on is because you've decided to now officially run or nominate for Corangamite. When we spoke to you last time, you were having some thoughts about potentially continuing as a candidate for Corangamite after a fairly successful tilt at South Bowen, but now it's official.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Obviously, after what we I thought it was a resounding success in the state election last year for the community. I just felt it was a natural extension to really keep fighting for our community and what's best for each and every single one of us.
So why are you running now for Corangamite? What motivates you to go through that whole process again?
There's a few things. But when you look around Australia, and after the summer that we've just had, when you look at the record floods that we had up in Queensland, and you look at the fires that were like unprecedented fires in Tasmania, and the millions of fish in the Murray-Darling River the huge fish kills, and there's just so many things right now happening. We've got the Fight for the Bite campaign, where Equinor's trying to drill the Great Australian Bite, Adani's knocking on our door trying to destroy the Great Barrier Reef. So we've got all these environmental catastrophes kind of happening or waiting to happen, and it feels like I just think that our two major parties aren't representing the community's wishes.
So the two people contesting Corangamite from the major parties both ran in the 2016 campaign, Sarah and Libby Coker. So have you had a chance to really get to know them and what they're like individually?
I haven't really gotten to know them personally too well. Libby Coker I've met a few times, and she's a councillor down on the Surf Coast, so I've had a little bit to do with the Surf Coast Shire as well. And Sarah Henderson, funnily enough, I was at a climate emergency protest out front of her office the other week, where I met her for the first time, which was quite funny. And Sarah Henderson I have absolute respect for. I think she's a really hard worker, and she's a very smart lady, and kind of she's done some great things. Unfortunately, in my opinion, I just think that the party that she represents, I just don't think are the right party to move forward into the 21st century.
So do you have an idea of where you might direct your preferences? Very early days yet, but if you get 10% of the vote again in Corangamite, that could be key in determining the result, given that Sarah Henderson only holds that seat on a margin of 0.03%.
Listen, I haven't actually thought about that at all. I'm going for the win, and that's what I'm interested in. And the other thing that I'm really interested in is, at this point, I don't feel that either party really deserves my preferences, because their climate change policies are nowhere near adequate enough for us to survive as a society. So I think they're really going to have to do a lot of work and come up to speed with that. So really, preferences at the moment, I haven't really had enough of a chance to kind of see. They're not really. I don't know. They don't deserve my preferences at this point.
So in terms of climate change, is that your main policy focus?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, it is. I've got a lot of kind of values, and a lot of, when I look at all the other issues that are going on federally, in terms of gender equity, in terms of refugees, there's definitely a lot there. But for me, the overarching problem that we have and challenge that we have nationally and internationally is this climate emergency, because at the end of the day, all the other issues come under that. So we've got this kind of collapse at the moment of our ecosystems, and that is actually also putting pressures on all the other issues at the same time. So for me, if we deal with this climate emergency, then the rest will be a lot easier to deal with.
So if we put you in charge of Corangamite, at least, and then advocating from there for what the policy might be for addressing issues around climate change, what would you like to see happen?
I'd invest a lot more money into renewable energies. So I think that every community within Corangamite, and for that matter, every single community in Australia, should have their own, let's say, solar farms, community hubs, solar energy hubs. So I think that's a huge one. I think that we really need to move away from plastics I think that we really need to ban single-use plastics, and we have to also put, so for when you look at the Great Ocean Road, I think we should kind of instill some kind of, I guess, like a pass to generate some funds to look after these assets that we hold dearly to us, for not only its intrinsic value, but also economic value to our tourism industry and every single cafe up and down the coast, every single company that does rely on tourism.
I see. And then the Equinor issue, I saw you out talking about that on the beaches on the weekend. This is, I believe, a federal government issue, and it's essentially around the drilling that could happen in the Great Australian Bight for oil, and you're concerned that there may be an oil spill, and the projection and the mapping shows that if there was to be an oil spill, that could have ramifications as far as the Surf Coast and even a lot further.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're looking to drill, as early as next year, and that's Equinor. It's a Norwegian, actually owned by the Norwegian government, 67% owned by the Norwegian government. And even in the event of a spill, it could reach the south coast of Western Australia and then all the way up to Port Macquarie, completely envelop Tasmania. So the detrimental effects, not only to our ecosystems, but to our economies, once again, it goes back to every single person who has anything to do with, a shop or any business here would suffer so greatly. And also, it's also our lifestyles and our social well-being, which they're putting at risk.
How far along is that process of trying to drill? You say it may start next year, but are they seeking permits from the government, or have they got permits from the government? Where's it actually at?
So, Equinor have just submitted their environmental plan, which then, that was about 2 weeks ago, and from there what happens is NOPSEMA, which is the governing body, puts it out to the public for comment. So we have to put submissions in. We have 30 days, which is up until March 20th, and that is the key one. That's what we're trying to do. Is we did a big protest last weekend, which was an absolutely amazing success. But it's only the first step. So it's all about raising awareness and educating. But what NOPSEMA are looking for are submissions. So we need to get hundreds of thousands of submissions in there to show that we oppose this drilling. And it's not only for our southern coastlines, but it's for around the world. It's 2019. When you look around the world, we've got environmental crises everywhere. We've got indicators that are just showing us that we are going down a very dark path right now, and we need to change our ways. We have to become more sustainable. We have to reduce our footprint, our ecological footprint. So it's a much larger issue as well. What are we still doing? We're opening up new oil fields in 2019 in one of the most pristine environments in the world, one of the last remaining pristine environments, and one which 85% of animals in there are only found in the Great Australian Bight. So that is absolutely special. And what dollar value do you put on that? And what risk do you put on that as well?
I spoke to a few people yesterday about this, including Andy Medic, who I think was beside you in a video. And my question was, how likely is this sort of event? So from the mapping that I've seen, it looks to be the most catastrophic projections that would show the oil spill spreading that far. How likely is it, do you think, that an oil spill would happen if this drilling was to go ahead?
Listen, I don't know the exact number of how likely, but we're looking at going deeper than we've ever gone, in rougher seas than we've ever gone. So they're looking to drill over 3 kilometres deep in wave averages over winter of about 5 to 6 metres on a weekly basis. So for me, it's not necessarily, even if there's a 0.01% chance, what it is it's the impact. What is the impact going to be? Are we willing to risk communities all across the southern seaboard and our environment? Are we willing to risk all of that for the sake of a short-term gain for an international company and for some royalties for our federal government? And I think that the answer is a resounding no. We'd make so much more, economically speaking, if we want to speak. The Great Ocean Road is worth alone about $800 million a year and provides over 10,000 jobs directly through tourism. So there's those kind of consequences. We're risking all of this. Even if, as I say, if there's a 0.01% chance it's going to happen, that's still too much.
So
one in a million chance is too much.
So in terms of your campaign, at the last election for Corangamite, there were a lot of candidates running. I think there was about 9 candidates in total running for the seat of Corangamite. So how will you campaign and how will you try and differentiate yourself from those other candidates? Is much of the campaign team that you had involved in the South Barwon campaign coming across to the Corangamite campaign?
Listen, we've had a few slight changes. In the state election, we had I had my campaign manager, who was absolutely amazing. He was there every step of the way with me. He was amazing. But we've had a bit of a shuffle and brought some new people on, and we're changing up a little bit with our social media and trying to kind of, obviously with a bigger geographical location, we have to kind of get a little bit more efficient and a little bit smarter in the way we do things. And the way that we're going to do it is just the way that I'm just going to be me, really, Mitch. And that is all I want to do. I want to be a community representative, and I want to fight for what's best for our communities on an environmental, economical, and a social aspect. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm on the ground, and I run even like Monday coming up next week, Labor Day weekend, 11th of March. We've got I've developed an initiative called A Cleaner Coast with a friend of mine, Jenna Hutchinson. From Love Ludi. We're doing a big clean-up across 3 different areas in Torquay, Janjuk and Bells Beach, and then having a bit of fun after that and having a bit of a gathering after a barbecue after that. So just doing community events that bring people together and trying to really galvanise our communities to move forward and develop a bit of a legacy which we can all be proud of for these future generations, these kids running around today.
And as you say, Corangamite's much bigger than South Barwon. It goes all the way down to Apollo Bay, although it's smaller than it used to be after that redistribution cut out Colac. So how will you try and cover all of those kilometres and try and speak to all of the communities all the way down there?
Listen, we're already in contact with different community groups up and down the coast. So what we're trying to establish is I'm part of a few different community groups. I'm on the committees for a few groups in Torquay, and we're trying to also establish a greater alliance up and down the coast and better communication between the communities, because at this point we have a lot of these groups and these towns that are dealing with very similar issues, and we're all kind of reinventing the wheel. We're all kind of doing our own work, whereas we could be sharing resources and we could be sharing ideas and really helping each other out. So that's a huge one in what we're trying to do. And another one which I've told a few of my team members is any time we drive up and down the Great Ocean Road, we have to throw surfboards in the car and get a surf, because we've got to keep this thing fun.
Well, Damien, thanks for being on the program, and hopefully we can keep catching up right up until the election. We'd love to have you on once a month, like Sarah and Libby appear on the program once a month, and it's going to be a very, very interesting campaign, I think.
No worries. Thanks so much for your time, Mitch.
Thank you very much, Damien Cole, their independent candidate, now running for Corangamite after a reasonably successful tilt at South Barwon. Didn't win, but managed to get about 10% of the vote, or maybe slightly less than that, but a substantial amount, more than most independents would get, and particularly for a first-time candidate.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.